Well, one of Australia's best-loved dance companies, Bangara, turns 30 this year. And to share the joy, they're touring the nation with a show called 30 Years of 65,000. The show brings us three dance pieces, and each one tells a story about Bangara, about its connection to cultures which have been thousands of years in the making. Bangara's artistic director is Stephen Page. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I just blew out the candles when you said that.
The recently appointed Associate Artistic Director is Frances Rings. Hello.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you with us, Frances. Now, Stephen, Bangara emerged from the Indigenous Dance College, NASDA, in 1989. It was originally led by the South African dancer Cheryl Stone and the African-American dancer Carol Johnson. And then you took the reins 2 years after them. I think you were dancing with the Sydney Dance Company at that time. When you took over, when you walked in on that first day, what was the young man's vision?
I think when we first went in and they talked, it was more, when they started the foundation, it was mainly about graduates going out there and getting work in the mainstream and what they thought because of their diverse experiences and who they were, they didn't have that professional foundation for them. And so that's why they thought they'd start a performing group professionally. And out of that came Bangara. So I was aware when it was thought of, and I believe it was even in Cheryl Stone's kitchen, they were deciding what the name of the company would be and so forth. So I was seeing all the earlier processes, and it was only when I went and did a few little classes and workshops and choreographed a few little pieces that the invitation happened at end of 91. Yeah. So when I did go in, I knew I had to be respectful to the relationships that was already formed, the graduates' ideas. And in that first sort of between the end of 91 into 92, they still had projects they were committed to, and they were working more like an educational performing company at the time. So for me to come in, it was more about, do we try to tackle these stories and creations? And my brothers were there, David and Russell, and the wonderful Manyayan families and Marikas and the graduates and Torres Strait dancers. Like, we were all there together. So I think for me, it was trying to work out how we were going to sort of seed the stories. And I think from that led the sort of bigger picture, really.
And what were the elements that you had in your bag of tricks to work with? Because as you're explaining that, you know, you could have set up a company that sought to bring traditional dance from various parts of Australia to a broader audience. Instead, you're taking those elements and you're integrating them or mixing them with what?
Well, the first work we did was called Up Until Now, which was weird because why would you call a work Up Until Now and I'd only just started? but it was a collection of exactly those. I remember David and LaDonna Hollingsworth. David wanted to sing and play guitar, and they would sit on these chairs and sing original songs that they had learnt from them being in college, and they both were doing the sort of pre-warm-up performance. And then we were doing, at that time, little variety excerpts of little contemporary works, but then they would always be followed by a traditional dance from the Torres Strait or Yungul. Yungul was the biggest injection there, the traditional Yirrkala. Mm. So what you were doing was this sort of a seesaw of contemporary and tradition. So yeah, we were just exploring those two types of forms. And then it was just over the next 3 years, we were building that trust related to the families and the forms and whoever was working with us to start crossing over. And I think it wasn't until we did Ochres in 94. So did I have a vision about this mainstream idea? Probably no. My experiences of knowing, of working in the mainstream and choreographing, I think that experience came from just being in Sydney Dance and watching Graham Murphy and Janet. And I thought, oh, this is what you do. You work for 7 weeks, you create a work, and then you put it on the mainstream stage. And I thought, wouldn't that be a great platform for Bangara to be?
But you're always interested in telling stories, because so much contemporary dance when you started out was very, I don't know what the word is, but abstract. It was about, you know, movement and actors' bodies and words like that. But you were always telling stories, it seems to me.
But that would have came from our traditions. And I wasn't brought up with stories. I was brought up with displacement stories, and I was brought up with constantly reconnecting in a generation of my mother and dad who, you know, were forbidden from celebrating the stories. So we would quietly and secretly talk about that when Dad would take us on country. And so there was always stories connected to land. And out of that, you know, I always thought that was part of the whole storytelling movement, which is where I suppose the cultural tools that I've learned. So when I did go to dance clubs, and Fran would know this, is that we were constantly challenged by, you know, in those days, you know, your modern experiences were modern dance from America, you know, and all the teachers that were coming doing modern, they were non-Indigenous, teaching us those forms along with classical and tap and jazz, every dance form you can think of. But the biggest injections was when the traditional experiences would happen, because that was something that I didn't grow up with it. And I think Fran had different experience with her mom on country. So we were always about reconnecting and telling stories. It was just innate in us. So I think as you were going along, I did feel when I watched Graham, I did feel when I first joined Bangarra that we were inundated with this beautiful sense of cultural and heritage, and it was full of stories.
Francis Rings, can you pick up on something that Stephen was talking about there, which is the Black American influence? Because I see that you studied at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theatre in New York, which was a black contemporary dance company formed back in 1958, I think it was. Is that for you another influence? Is Black American art, Black American dance also informing Indigenous dance and Indigenous exploration in Australia?
In the beginning, yes. I think, you know, with the establishment of NAISDA Dance College and the influence of Carol Y. Johnson and her experiences and coming out of the civil rights movement. And when I joined NAISDA, it was the year of the bicentenary. And, you know, Carol was like, okay, classes are finished for the day. There's a march going on. You all need to meet in Redfern because we're all marching to Hyde Park. And so we were, you know, that was a priority.
But you know what the other thing is too, like Carol brought all that sensibility, but she also had a group of people around her. She had black community in Sydney, from Bob Mazza to Mum Shirl to a lot of people that were in the black theatre who she had that support around her. So she could not hide amongst that, but she could go under the radar a little bit and just sort of be around all that black political activist sort of influences, you know, and those influences come with relationships, and those relationships come with kinship, songline connections. And so all of that was just all an experience that was given to us through that process. And we try to hang on to that spirit as we were moving into Bangarra professionally.
Francis, let's talk about this show, which is called 30 Years of 65,000. It includes three works, including one of yours, which is a piece you first staged with Bangarra back in 2004. It's called Unipon, named after David Unipon, who's the guy on the $50 bill, who was a massively smart and very unusual man. Just tell us about him.
I think he's quite fascinating, his history. And one of the things that drew me to his story was the shame that I felt when my sister told me about this man and his legacy and his contributions to Australia, and finding out about him for the first time as a 29-year-old South Australian Gugutha woman, and this sense of shame that why am I only just finding out about him now? You know, this was a man, he's a Ngunnawal man from the Lower Murray area of South Australia. At the age of 13, he went to live in Adelaide and received a classical education, learned about science and literature and music and religion. And he, you know, had an education that afforded him a vision of the world that included not only his Ngunnawal traditions, but also other world knowledges and world experiences. So he had this way of visioning the world through his cultural lens, but also that, you know, he saw value in that, and he saw that there was room for both in a space that didn't include Indigenous people or their practices. So yeah, he really fought for that. He was an author. He was a philosopher, a scientist.
And an inventor.
And a great inventor.
Yeah.
I think that's inspirational for us that, you know, we can learn from somebody like him and
especially at that
tell
time.
His stories at that time, being a citizen, being not allowed to walk freely, having to have a permit. You know, it's an incredible story of resilience, I think, that we can all be inspired by.
And Fran's work in Unipon was the first time when that we actually dived into a leader and a figure, a character of that we can call and be proud of, and finding a narrative in our own backyard and us reclaiming in a sense of history in a way.
Work number two in this program, Stephen, is called Stamping Ground. And this one's by the Czech choreographer Jiří Kilian, who ran the Netherlands Dance Theatre in 1975 through to 2004, a big name in European contemporary dance. So he came here in the 1980s, didn't he, to the Gulf of Carpentaria. Tell us about the setup for this.
He went to Groote Eylandt in the 80s. He was inspired by Corroboree over 3 days. It was filmed in the 80s. His response to it was created in 1983. I've always wanted to do it. And I said, oh, wouldn't it be good around the 30th if we could propose that to Jiří again? And then he finally endorsed it and then sent Ros Anderson over, who's the rehearsal director at the time in 83. And she's come back many years later and she caretakes his story, Stamping Ground, and she just allowed us to do it.
Yeah, and listener, you can see this on a terrific documentary called The Road to the Stamping Ground. It's on YouTube, and you can actually see Jiří Kilian there out with the community, just learning the dance moves and talking about what they mean to him and how innovative he's finding something that's, as you say, a tradition that's thousands of years old. You've created a third piece. Very briefly, we'll just tell people it's called To Make Fire.
It's just really a collection of our repertoire pieces that I just personally love, and I just thought it summed up a gift back to our 65,000 years of time and heritage and spirit, and this collection of works represent that. And that's the evening of this wonderful, diverse of storytelling.
And Bangara means to make fire in Wiradjuri.
That's right. It's about the spirit and the source of to make fire, what that energy is. And it's that spirit that keeps us all grounded and hopefully will fuel us for the next 30 years.
So, Francis, you're the Associate Artistic Director. How are you hoping to continue stoking the fire that is Bangara?
Well, you know what? I have to go back to go forward. So just hear me out. That beautiful work that Stephen spoke about earlier, up until now, I was a student at NASDA when I saw that work, and I sat on the floor and I remember seeing something that I had never seen before, and watching this language that was describing the way that I felt as a person who was lost and finding their identity and not knowing who they were as an artist. So he's in those early days, I think Stephen probably didn't realise, but he was giving us this sense of hope of a language that was defining our experiences as urban black people. And I think that's always been part of our cultural framework, keeping that fire going, like you said before, making sure that we have a language so that we can describe our experiences on our terms. And it was the energy that I fell in love with, the energy of watching the Page Brothers in the studio or in the space, actually anywhere, and just kind of being just intoxicated by this incredible vision. And I was hooked and I wanted to be around that.
Francis, one of the qualities of Bangara that's always excited me as an audience member is the way in which traditional Australian cultures are combined with a sense of the now, of the modern. Is that bringing together of the now and tradition in one sort of seamless celebration?
Yeah,
is that part of what's important in healing?
I think the Western construct likes to say, oh, it's a mix of this and that. But you know what? Our stories, past and present, sit in the same space. When we go on stage, I feel, you know, David's music and his spirit when I'm in the theatre, when I'm on country, when we're doing Yinayapon, the unseen is, and the seen, they live in the same space. And I think that's something that we like to honour and respect and bring to our works, is that sense of being connected to our spirit. And they're things that I'll take with me and that will guide me, for the rest of my life, I think, as an artist, having those incredible relationships with people like David and, you know, other creatives that help you in your practice to take risks.
Stephen, we began by talking about what you had in mind when you walked through those doors at Bangara in 1991. That younger you would be pretty happy to hear that summation, wouldn't he, of what it's all added up to?
Yeah, and that's what, exactly right. And that's what I was always grounded by or affected by, was that wonderful sense of clan and mob and friends and the trusting of relationships. Because when Fran talks about the energy and spirit, they're all the energies and spirits that were our teachers, whether they're non-Indigenous, but the biggest injection were those traditional teachers and all those displacement urban clans and dancers coming in, and because they all wanted to be connected to that spirit or have a dose of that spirit, because it really did give them a sense of who they are and where they belong.
Well, thank you to the two of you for coming in and being so generous and warm and candid, and congratulations on 30 years of Bangara.
Thank you. We'll see you in the next 30 years.
Stephen Page, Artistic Director of Bangara Dance Theatre, and the company's Associate Artistic Director, Francis Rings. And yeah, they're celebrating their 30th birthday. It's a triple bill that they're celebrating with. It's called 30 Years of 65,000, and you can see it in Brizzy on the 23rd of August, in Melbourne from the 5th of September, then on to Adelaide the 19th of September, and they wrap up in Hobart in the first week of October. All the details are on our website. I'm Michael Cathcart. This is The Stage Show.